Welcome to Season 4 of Spin is a Four-Letter Word, Maroon's Mark. I'm John Maroon. As we celebrate 20 years of Maroon PR, this season is a toast to the relationships, risks, and lessons that shaped our journey. In each episode, I connect with a special guest who's left their mark on me, our agency, or our industry, offering real-world perspective for building what lasts. Grab a drink. Cheers to 20 years. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Spin is a Four-Letter Word, Maroon's Mark. I'm really excited today to be at our office and have two of my favorite people in the media with me today. We have Courtney Bodie, who is market president and publisher of the Baltimore Business Journal, and Jessica Iannetta, who is the editor-in-chief of the Baltimore Business Journal. Guys, thank you for coming out to Columbia. Thank you for having a drink with me and for sharing some thoughts.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Well,
just to get started, tell guys a little bit about your backstory. Maybe Jess, like, how'd you get to where you are leading the way as editor-in-chief at the BBJ? Like, tell us your little story and your life journey, because I know, like me, Jess is originally from New Jersey, God's country.
Yes. The best state in the union. Yeah. So, I'm from New Jersey originally. Started my career in Cecil County. I worked for the Cecil Whig for about 3 years as a reporter and an editor. I got hired by the BBJ in 2018 as associate editor, which at the time was mostly handling our print content. So I did the weekly print paper. I did our special sections, our award programs. I became a managing editor like 5 months before the pandemic, which was super fun. I did that for 5 years. And then I've now been editor-in-chief since fall 2024.
Yeah, and you followed the footsteps of another one of our favorite human beings, Joanna Sullivan.
Absolutely. Yeah, I worked for Joanna for 8 years, and it was a fantastic experience, and she prepared me really well for that. So
that's great. Courtney, tell us a little bit about you and your journey. You're from Virginia.
Yes.
At the WBJ, et cetera, et cetera. Tell us how you got here.
Yes. So I've been in Baltimore at the Business Journal for 2.5 years. I've been with American City Business Journals, who is our parent company, for 14 years. Started out in Washington, D.C. at the Washington Business Journal. And then most recently, I managed the sales team at the Triangle Business Journal in Raleigh-Durham. But, never thought I would get into media, but here we are 16 years later and haven't looked back.
Amazing. I saw a mutual friend the other day who used to be at the BBJ, Rob Terry. Mm-hmm. Bumped into Rob, and he was sending his regards. I told him I was going to see you guys today. American City Business Journal seems to have really found its foothold. And I'm sure different markets are thriving more than others. Recently, we were out in Chicago. We met with the folks at the Chicago Business Journal, thanks to you, Court. And I know they're kind of fighting a little bit uphill against Cranes. But, you know, here in Baltimore with the Baltimore Business Journal, and I think to some extent in D.C., it feels like you have really commandeered the market on business news. I mean, what is, from your perspective, what is American City Business Journal doing right? And more specifically, what are you guys doing right to be so on top of the business world in terms of news, Jess?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, I appreciate you saying that, first of all. So, I think that we've done a really good job finding our niche, establishing, our readership. Like, I think the one thing that's always been great about ACBJ is they have a very clear mission of who they're going to serve. Like, we serve, business people, we serve small business owners, and we create, the articles and the journalism that we do is geared toward those people. And it's not a topic that a lot of people do. There's not as much B2B news, especially B2B local news is pretty rare. So, I mean, if you want to read about an accounting firm merger, if you want to read about, an office building downtown going on the market, like we're almost always first, and we're usually the only ones who do those kinds of stories. And so I think just being able to establish that, that content that we have that nobody else can replicate, I think is always great. Like, I always tell people, like, I think it's great that you have subscriptions to, the general newspapers, the Sun and the Banner, but, because you need to find out about, they do great local, government coverage and crime and politics and stuff, but like, you're not going to know what's happening in the business world if you don't also have a BBJ subscription.
Yeah. And Corey, you've been in the ACBJ world for a while now. Like, how do you account for their success and certainly in certain markets like ours?
I think, like Jess said, we're fortunate that we're a niche paper, right? I mean, there's other people that will kind of touch on business news, but our whole staff, Jess's whole staff, is dedicated to just the business news. And, to Jess's point, We do have competition here. We have competition in every market that we're in. We don't want to see dailies go out of business because people still need those. Consumers still need those publications. But like I said, we've been very fortunate that, you know, we like to think that we are the must read in the morning or in the afternoon, wherever you get one of our newsletters, or if you come to our homepage, like you're coming to us because you want to be educated to get the business news. And, you know, nobody else is serving just that purpose.
Yeah. And well, the other thing I think that's really cool about you guys is your team. I mean, it's not a giant team, right, by any means, but you hire really, really well, because I think your journalists are not only good at being journalists, and salespeople aren't always good at being salespeople, but they're very approachable. They're very easy to be around. They're very communicative. I mean, I don't know what your secret is to hiring, but I'd like to take that. And I think on the journalistic side, Jess, you got such a cool mix, right? Because you got Melody Simmons, who's the cagey veteran who's been covering real estate and killing it forever. And you got some younger folks like, you know, Garrett and some other younger journalists, but it's a good mix. But speak a little bit to that about culture at your place and kind of the mindset about just being communicative, being open, getting out there, meeting people, because it seems to work.
Can we give John credit for referring people on our staff to us? John actually referred two people on our staff to us. And I think a lot of people have come to us that way through referrals, right? I think referrals are the best way to hire talented employees. So we're grateful to you for your references. But, you know, I'll say, I think part of the culture, we moved our offices 2 years ago. We used to be in a 12,000 square foot space, and you've been to our office now. It's 3,400 square feet. I mean, everybody knows everything about everyone because they sit so close. But that, I think that has helped with some of our culture. I mean, we are so physically close that you have to like the person that you work next to. And, you know, we were making some comments earlier about like some of the trophies that you have in your office. But I mean, it's some of these things that we do with our office, like the fantasy football. Jess is the reigning cookie champion of the office. It's little things like that. And, you know, you have employees. I mean, it's not always about the dollars that you can put behind them, but things that make them feel good. Winning some of these awards, having like silly little internal competitions, that helps drive camaraderie in the office. And that helps with, you know, people staying longer too, because they feel a sense of community when they come to work.
For sure. Jess, shifting gears a little bit more to doing your job day to day and, you know, finding great stories. As a PR firm, you know, we're always banging on your door and other news gathering agencies' door to help tell our clients' stories. But what advice would you give PR people, you know, the best way to approach you, the do's and don'ts of how to be effective and get a return the next time they call? Like, what do you tell PR people to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just understanding our perspective and the way we cover things in our niche. Because, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is, like, you know, I think it's additive for your clients, because we're not going to cover something the same way that the Sun or the Banner is going to cover it. And, you know, sometimes it means we won't cover a story, but sometimes it also means we may take an angle on a different story, or we may cover a story that they're not going to cover. And I think the PR firms that we work with most successfully and who we have good relationships with are the ones who understand, like, why we do the stuff that we do and, like, who we serve and who our audience is. And I think, like, that's, you know, the most successful, just having that dialogue. You know, I think, you know, you can come up with some really creative pitches. Like, the example that I usually like to use is, there's a PR firm a couple of years ago that worked with, like, an accounting firm. And one of the PR reps was talking to one of the accountants, and he was talking about, oh, you know, like, there's this new cannabis loophole, and, like, you know, like, with cannabis companies, you need to, like, worry about this or whatever. And she's like, oh, Matt Hook, who's one of our reporters, she's like, Matt, dialed in on the cannabis industry. The BBJ has readers who are interested in this. I wonder if they'd be interested in that. And it was exactly the sort of story that we would be interested in. And just the fact that, you know, that PR rep was able to immediately think, oh, that's a Baltimore Business Journal story. Like, those are the kind of really successful, you know, relationships, I think, for us.
Yeah, that sounds like a great pitch. And just kind of thinking creatively and that sort of thing, and knowing what you cover and what would be interested in. So I love that idea. And then, Cor, from your perspective, what, I mean, a lot of your time is spent focused on the sales side of things, right? Running the sales team, which do a great job. How's sales been from your perspective? And kind of what's changed recently? What are people looking for now that maybe more than they may be looking for 5 years ago?
Yes, that's a great question. And I'll answer that question. But before, like going back to PR, one of the changes that we made 7-8 years ago, because of all the press releases that come in, right? Like the news team can't cover all of that. But on the advertising side, we've come up with what we call branded content, the sponsored content, which is native content, which looks like a story. It says sponsored content, so it's like we're not trying to pull fast one on anyone. They know that it is a sponsored post, but it reads just like our stories. That's a great way for some of these people that have the press releases and think that this story should be published to say, no, we can't do this. But I mean, there is a paid opportunity to it. And again, as people come to our website to be educated, they still read those stories too. So it's not like, you know, it has to be written by one of our editors to get, or one of our reporters to get airtime, right? Like you can pay for those placements too. But I mean, that kind of leads into what your question was in terms of how has advertising changed? It's changed drastically. When I first came on, it was like we were selling 52-time ads in the paper. And now it's like the paper, we still have the paper, but everybody wants digital. Digital because they can track it. They can measure it. Like that's so important. And, you know, the other side of it is social media is so large now. Everybody has a social media campaign. Everybody's on social media. But how do we fit into that marketing mix, right? You have to be on social media. You have to have that platform, but still doing the branded content or the brand awareness, that's still essential to businesses too. So yeah, used to be all print. Now it's digital. It's sponsorships at events. I mean, it's always changed and it will keep changing too.
Yeah. I mean, well, even us, you know, I mean, I think when we were working out what our vibe with you guys was going to be this year, you remember, I really wanted more digital and we ended up, we're the proud sponsor of the breaking news email, yeah. Which I light up. I get at least two or three of those a week from Jess Iannetta coming into my inbox, and I love it. But it's a great one. Anybody out there thinking about BBJ, look at that. Breaking news and other digital assets for sure. AI is impacting everyone's universe, right? And I think for you guys, obviously, it's got to play a major role, certainly in like, even clicks on your website, right? Because you got the AI capsulization over you. Thank you. Which is a pain in the ass, right? And so it is, right? And so like, how do you use AI if you do at all? And then what are the opportunities around AI?
Yeah. You want to talk about it from the editorial perspective?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, our company, you know, we actually have had some AI integrated into a lot of our stuff even prior to the AI boom. I mean, I remember when I started with the company, we were posting on social media by hand every single day. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. I don't think we even had Instagram at that point, but we were doing like all that by hand. And I think maybe 2019, we got a platform that helps post to social media and that uses AI to help pull in posts and stuff. And it was just a huge time saver for us. Like just not having to have someone manually post that all the time. It was fantastic. And the email client that we use now also uses some AI. I mean, obviously like, this is something that like the editor still like, you know, we oversee the posting, we like, you know, can drag stuff in and like for like, you know, our emails, like we still rank it, but like sail through, like we'll pull in other stuff. So, you know, that stuff we've had around for a while, even prior to all of the latest AI boom. And that's just stuff that helps make our job easier and lets us do journalism rather than, you know, some of the back end stuff. But I mean, recently with the new stuff, we've really, you know, been trying to find more ways to, you know, help us, you know, do better journalism, basically. We have a tool in the CMS now that helps us with headlines. It helps us with teases. If you'll notice in the last year or so, we added bullet points to our stories, which we'd never had before. And like we've gotten really positive feedback on that. People really like that. The bullet points are generated with AI. The editors review them, like we'll rewrite them. And those go at the top of the stories. And that's been, you know, a big hit with people too. So that's aided by AI. We have various like other tools. We have a team in our corporate office that works on different tools, and we have a tool that helps analyze like residential real estate records and, you know, that helps us break down. We do now an article every week that's like the top 10 residential real estate sales in the region. And that's been really popular. You know, we have another tool that I use when I'm converting content for the print edition that helps us cut down the articles to the right size for print. So there's just a lot of it's really just a focus on helping us do better journalism. And I think our parent company has been really clear about like that's what the direction they want to go in. You know, we're not going to be replacing the reporters with AI. We're not going to be having AI generated, you know, stories, but I mean, like, we want to use AI to help us humans do better work.
Well, Jess, I think you hit the nail on the head a couple of times with it's a tool, right? And I think as long as you use it as such and you use it to help you be more efficient and clean up, but don't rely on it completely because it's going to bite you and it's dishonest from a PR perspective. It's dishonest journalistically. But if you use it as a tool to help you, it could be really beneficial. And we're all kind of playing catch up. It changes. It's the Wild West right now, but it's very interesting. What about from your perspective?
There's been a media outlet recently that was purchased, and they said that they're going to focus on events and that all of their content is going to be generated like through AI too. But like, we will never come to a time where it's just all AI written stories. I mean, right. We can't.
Well, yeah, we can. I mean, I think that's the great thing about local business news and like our people is like, we all live here. Like we're all in the city, like we're in the counties, like we're in the surrounding area. Like a lot of the articles we get, like you cannot, like AI can't generate them. Like one of my reporters the other day, like there's a new like diner that opened in Fells Point. She got the story because she walked over there and talked to the owner. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't replace that. Like, and that's how you get so many stories in local news is that you're out there, you're like seeing what's happening, you're talking to people in person, you're talking to people on the phone. Like that stuff, AI cannot replicate it because it's based on humans. And that's what a lot of
relationships too, yeah. Right? I mean, you guys have such a good rapport with people. You're out there meeting people. We always say we drive growth through relationships at Maroon PR. And it's just hopefully that's something that keeps our world functioning, the need for relationships and human contact and, you know, reality stays front and center.
Yeah. And on the sales side, we use it similarly in the fact that if you're not using AI to help you be efficient with data, I mean, you're falling behind. Yeah. To Jess's point, we have AI that is integrated into systems that we already have. So what would take hours to analyze like some of the data on the sales side? I mean, now it's just run through the systems that we use. And I know the sales team uses it a lot for prospecting. Yeah. They use it to help write emails. We use it for meetings to take notes for us for follow up. But again, like AI is not selling anything for us. They can't sell for us. It's all based on the relationships that we have.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious about this year. Has there been a sector of news that's been a little more prevalent this year from on the editorial side that you're seeing more stories pop up than maybe in the past? We just talked about AI. I mean, that might be part of it, or I don't know if there's real estate is this ever evolving animal. I don't know if there's something that's dominating the newsroom a little more than in the past.
I would say like M&A. I know we have a panel.
Yeah.
But like M&A, it seems like every week somebody on like the professional services side, like there's some type of merger or acquisition that's been happening as like more private equity starts buying people up.
Yeah, the private equity's been a big trend. I mean, especially in a place like Baltimore, which I think has a lot of locally owned firms, like a lot of family owned businesses that have been around for generations or decades. Like there's a lot of PR firms that are coming, or PE firms rather, that are coming and rolling up firms and rolling up, you know, what they can. I mean, like golf courses, accounting firms, like we just had a beverage distributors. That's been a big one. Like it's just really, really interesting. And so I think that certainly has been it. I mean, we're certainly seeing effects from, you know, I think we're still seeing a lot of the government changes, like, you know, from the federal government, like we're still really affected by that sector. We're still seeing fallout from that. You know, I think just real estate too, like, I mean, particularly in Baltimore, the downtown people that we haven't really solved the office tower issue. That's still something that's like unsettled. And I think we're still trying to work that out. Like the downtown, you know, that's something we've really been reporting on since the pandemic. And it still continues and is in many ways, like, you know, starting to accelerate. I mean, we just had an office building that sold for $1.5 million and then they put it back. It's going to auction again in June. Like, so, I mean, it's just, like it's crazy. It still hasn't really settled. So I mean, I don't think there's anything in particular like just this year that's popped up, but those are sort of the storylines even just for the last year or two that like I think it just are continuing and we're not really seeing any resolution there.
Yeah, the return to work debate is really interesting to see because it affects so much. It affects everything. We debated internally here, you know, like what to do and what not to do and. You know, we're largely remote and it works for us. But, you know, I know other businesses are very much like, hey, we got to get back in here. And I think a lot of landlords are hoping that's the case.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you've seen some of the companies that have large footprints, like the Under Armours, the T Rose, even PNC recently, like they're like 5 days. You have to be back in the office 5 days a week, which again will help downtown. If we can get more people downtown, like how does that bring retail, all the other things back downtown?
Yeah, it's an interesting struggle, right? Because I think you're trying to balance employee satisfaction and not lose your people and giving them the freedom versus having a successful business. And do we really need them back? And they've gotten used to not being back. So
yeah
that's, I don't think.
It's funny. Like I used to ask all the best places to work companies like, oh, like what is your office? Like what is your office like plan? Are you like remote? Are you hybrid? And I just stopped asking because everyone was like hybrid.
Yeah.
Like everyone's hybrid. Like I mean, there definitely are still like fully remote firms, but it just seems like the majority of people are hybrid in some extent. Like, which you just, pre-pandemic, it was not even a thought. Like,
no.
But if you talk to anybody in the commercial real estate space, like they are more optimistic about office than they have been for the past couple years. I mean, they'll tell you everything's cyclical and they see people returning to office more now.
My brother's in that industry. He's a tenant rep up in New Jersey, and he is seeing that for sure, that there's a lot more activity in new leases and office space for sure. But Core, what about from the sales side? You know, how's the year been? What are you seeing in terms of activity? And is there, again, kind of similar to what I asked about the news side, are there industries that are being more aggressive in their spends?
This is a good question. We've been fortunate. We had a great year last year. We're having a good year this year. It was slower to start. And I mean, I've been in sales for a long time. So, I mean, every year I've heard, oh, we're cutting our spend. Like everybody's halving their marketing
budget.
It's the
first line of defense,
exactly.
Right? From Courtney Bodie's coming and we're cutting our spend.
Yes, marketing budget's cut half. Yeah. But I mean, seriously, people have been saying that forever. Like, oh, we're cutting our spend. But this year more than ever, I think because so many people have put money and invested into AI, I mean, it's been slower because people want to see what's going to happen. I mean, we've seen a lot of cuts too come from AI, like full-time employee cuts. So I think people have been more hesitant to spend. But again, and I talked about it earlier, so much is being put towards social media because it's free for the most part, right? Like you can put as much as you want on social media, but you should still have some kind of marketing campaign that is like building brand awareness and some type of paid marketing to go along with the social and the earn marketing. But in terms of industries, nothing that sticks out. We've seen more higher ed than we had before, as there's like, what is it? They're calling it like this cliff because not as many people are going to a 4-year university. You see more people going into the trades.
Yeah.
So we've seen a lot more from higher ed in the business schools because, again, like we have an educated reader, but they'll go back and get their MBA. They'll go back and get a certificate, whatever it is.
I agree with you 100%. We encourage all of our clients. Every client's a little bit different. We're not in every space, but we encourage every client, earned, owned, and paid media should work hand in hand. You do not know where your next customer is getting their information, and it's all across the board, right? And so the earned stories are great because it's third-party credibility, and you're also now realizing that all the AI tools are feeding off of editorial.
Yes.
So to me, what we're seeing internally is media relations is going this way. Because I think people moved away from it because they were dumb. Oh, we just have to put it out on social media. Mm-hmm. They're seeing that that's not the case. And then, you know, obviously putting some money behind it on paid and really being able to target it now. And then, yeah, enhancing your own spaces. But you should have, we always tell people, you should have a finger or toe in each one of those buckets to really be effective and make sure it's coordinated.
Mm-hmm. And social media is endless, right? You can have so many followers to whatever platform is, but it's a really crowded space too, right? And like being influenced too, like that's a different kind of marketing than like a real true paid marketing campaign. But again, it all works in together. It used to be, you know, you got to do print, you got to do digital. Now it's more like, okay, a sprinkling of print, digital, social, and it all comes together.
Yeah. Earned, owned, paid, man.
Yeah. And I think the value of the BBJ is like we do make our customers see it as like this is a business tool like that helps them make money. I mean, we hear this all the time, but my favorite recent story is I had a nonprofit guy tell me, oh, you know, like, you know, you ran the story about our capital campaign and like the, you know, what we're doing there. And he said, like, 2 weeks after the story ran, like, someone called him and was like, hey, like, we do an annual donation. We read about the article in the BBJ and we want to give you, like, I forget how much it was, but it was like a large amount of money. It was like $15,000 or something. And he like, got that.
I love when PR works.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So we joke, we have a couple brokers, like, well, we write about stuff going on in the market and like someone will be like, oh yeah, I saw that in the BBJ and I bought it. And we're like, hey, like that commission, like.
Yes. Yes. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll send you our affiliate link.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. The, couple more things, we'll let you guys go. I'm so grateful you're here. Again, we're with Courtney Bodie and Jessica Iannetto with the Baltimore Business Journal. They are our friends, and they're really good at what they do, and they gave us some time today. I'm very grateful. I'm not sure I actually have a question here, so I'm going to make a statement and hope you have something to add to it. But with newsrooms generally getting smaller, right? I mean, you see it at all the papers, you see it at the TV stations, the radio stations. I think early on, a lot of PR pros were freaking out, like, oh my God, there's less opportunity for us to reach out to these newsrooms. We looked at the opposite way. We look at it like, if we're doing our job really effectively and delivering quality stories, making our people available, sending assets when we have them, right? Whether it's photos or videos and whatnot, we're getting way more. Journalists need help from good PR people. And our whole point was, like, we have to be really good. We have to be really there to help them in every way, shape, or form. And the result is I'm finding a lot more of partnerships with newsrooms than even in the past because they need the help. They're, instead of one beat, they're wearing five different hats. So, I mean, I guess my point is good PR firms can really work really closely with newsrooms today. Maybe better than ever, I would argue.
Yeah. No, I mean, you say, I think it's about relationships. Like, I had a reporter the other day tell me, like, oh, you know, like, they're, you know, this PR company, like, you know, they pitched me this company that they're working with. And, like, I don't know if it's a story for us, but this PR company is really good. And, like, we've worked with them before. So, like, I'll hear them out. And so, I mean, I think, like, that just speaks to, like, you know, there's definitely PR firms that we know where we're like, hey, like, you know, we know that you guys know what we do. And, like, we'll hear you out on. Doesn't mean we're always going to do a story, but we're always willing to, like, hear you out and, like, you know, we will joke in the newsroom sometimes, like if there's like a company that's being difficult, we're like, do you think that like they could switch their PR to like a more better PR firm?
And listen, like, next time you have that conversation, I hope you call me. All right.
Yeah, like, yeah.
But I think it's a level of trust, yeah. Right? Like we know when we hear from you and some of the other PR firms, like it's going to be a story. And if it's not, like you guys have a thick skin and it's like, sorry, it doesn't work or whatever.
Listen, Jessica has told me no on more than one occasion and it's okay. And we always tell our guys like, it's okay. We're going to be back. Like not everything just because we think it's cool doesn't make it newsworthy. And we even have to have hard conversations with our clients sometimes like, hey, isn't this great? We say, that's great for your social platforms. It's great for your website. It's yes. Not news. And yes. And so like, it's that whole balancing act, respecting the newsroom, respecting what's news, again, getting them back into the earned, owned, paid bucket. So I think I love this work. I love working with people like you all and, you know, being able to do that, but the opportunities are there. I think there's some people out there just fearing that things are shrinking or that AI is taking over the world. You can't replace relationships. Right. You can't replace being efficient you can't replace being efficient, but you can't replace being efficient in the sense of, hey, I'm going to connect you with the right person for the story. We're going to make sure that this happens. So it's been, to me, it's been very revealing over the last couple of years and the world keeps changing. You change with it or you die.
I want to chime in too. And I might butcher this, but there was a study that the Merrill College of Journalism from University of Maryland put out like right after I got here. So like 2 years ago, and it was just on Maryland media. And it said that 68% of the stories that you read were generated from a press release, which is a large number of stories. But that tells you a couple things, right? Like long gone are the days where you had these huge newsrooms and, you know, you're going up to Cecil County, you were coming to Howard County and writing stories because we just don't have the amount of people. But if you think about it, Melody, Garrett, Matt, Morgan, all of them, like they get inundated with press releases all the time.
Try to remind our team that. Yeah.
Right. But like to have the relationship where you sent the press release, but you have the relationship where you call them, right? Because everything's over email nowadays. But to be able to pick up your phone and say, hey, I've got this story on whatever it is.
Young PR like, people, listen to this. The phone is not just for texting.
But I'm serious. I mean, to have the relationship where you can pick up the phone and call someone and be like, hey, I know you probably have all these press releases, but like, I want to tell you this story like really quickly, because again, there's only so few of them. They can't go through all the noise, but like having the trust with some of these PR firms, we know that like, okay, John actually called me, Matt, whoever called me, I'm going to hear what they have to say. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just press release after press release. And to that point, to a company, like making the investment into a PR firm can be huge, yeah, right? You like, they know their business, but you know how to talk to us and speak our business and help them. So plug to the PR firm.
I appreciate that. Yeah. So it is interesting. Like we tell a couple times, we've heard from clients that, you know, send out a press release. Maybe not a press release, right? And then other people that, oh, the press release is dead. You hear that from PR people and stuff. I think neither is true, right? The press release, I view it more as a fact sheet. It's a fact sheet, right? It's just something to say, here's something. But you start with the pitch. You start with reaching out to the right journalist who might care about this because you know what they cover and why it's interesting. Mm-hmm. And then take it from there.
But I mean, going back to the emails, I mean, how many emails do we all get every single day to like weed through all those emails to just pick up the phone or you use the press releases? Like you said, you're like fact sheet, pique their interest. But also like to be able to call someone and know that they're going to pick up the phone and have a source too is huge.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think I always tell people, like, I really try, like, if it's a local PR firm, like, to at least respond to the email. And if I'm just saying, like, no, thanks, like, because I know that that's someone that, like, you know, isn't going to go away. Like, we're continue working with them. And, like, you know, the national firms, you know, like, I don't look at those as closely. So, because, you know, we just, you know, it's so much in your inbox. You got to triage it somehow. So, so it is, like, an advantage, like, with the people that, you know, that we know and can put a name to a face.
You also didn't talk about, too, like, we want the scoop. Right.
Yes.
Like we want to break the news. So if you're sending a press release to all the Maryland news outlets, it's like I hear them say sometimes, oh, someone else will pick that up. But like we want to break some news. Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing, too, is my favorite is when people send out a press release on a story that like clearly no one else is going to cover. Like if you're a small accounting firm that's acquiring another small accounting firm just that are both in Baltimore County, just call Gary. So like that's always funny. Like we'll laugh about that. We're like, why did they put out a press release? Like, you know, and I know that there are other reasons for that too, but it's always funny. It's a knee jerk.
Right?
That's
what we do, right?
But yeah, but that cracks it up. But we appreciate, but to Courtney's point, like we also do appreciate, like we're a small team. We only have so many people on staff. And like when we can have exclusives, like that's not only great for us, but it's great for you guys too, because like, you know, if a day gets busy and stuff, like, you know, like your news can get, you know, and you happen to send it on a day when a lot is happening, like it can get lost. Like, you know, but if, you know, it's something where we can plan, like if we know, if you're like, hey, this is going to drop on Thursday, we're going to do the interviews, you know, here. Like that's something that's built into our week. And so that's going to get priority versus like, oh, hey, like here's a press release that maybe is sort of on the border. And it's a huge help to us. And it like, you know, pretty much like, you know, guarantees that coverage.
Well, a lot of it's a trust factor too. Yeah. I think, again, it goes back to that relationship, right? Like you and I have worked a lot on exclusives over the years, and some of them were fairly significant, right? And sometimes unnamed media outlets will betray those like embargoes and the deadline.
That drives us crazy.
Well, it does in us too, right? But you know, I know that I can call Jess Iannetta, and if she likes the story, we can just plot it out and it's going to work, right? And I'm going to deliver what I'm going to deliver, and she's going to abide by the time frame we agree on. And that's great. But that means a great deal, you know? Yeah. And I think like just for any PR pros out there, I mean, know what the reporters are covering, be respectful of the fact that they're inundated with emails from PR people, and bring value. Like you can assess it. It's okay to talk to your client and say, this is a great LinkedIn post. You should post this on LinkedIn for sure. This is not a news story. It's okay. Bring value and you'll get value.
Right.
And you know, I think those are just things that I think PR firms are under tremendous pressure.
Yep.
And so sometimes they're trying to sell something that isn't newsworthy. Guilty of done it myself. But you got to try as best you can to be mindful of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And to like be flexible too. I know there's times I've like, you've said like, hey, I have this exclusive for you. And I'm like, I just don't have anyone. Like you can, if you want to put it out. And you're like, oh, well, we'll just move the exclusive date. And I was like, okay. You know, like that's always appreciated when people do that. Cause you know, like sometimes it's just like, well, you know, it's a great story. I'd love to do it, but I have three reporters out and this thing is happening and just can't get to it. So
have some flex. Well, what do you value, right? Yeah. Do you value timeliness or do you value where it's going to end up and placement? And if you have some flexibility on timeliness, just say it, you know, be honest. It's good. Again, it goes back to those relationships. But listen, Courtney Bode, Jessica Iannetta, I just want to thank you for being on Spin is a Four-Letter Word, Maroon's Mark. Really appreciate you coming out to Columbia and being here in person. I look forward to the rest of the year and working closely with you guys, but thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Cheers.
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 Hey, it's John Maroon again. Thank you for listening to Spin is a Four-Letter Word. And just a reminder, if you can, follow us on all the major social media platforms at Maroon PR. If you have an idea or suggestion, let us know what you think, and we'll see you soon.